Welcome once again to your friendly neighborhood Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans podcast, episode 29. I don't know what to call this one, actually. We'll figure it out. Anyway, as usual, I am Stephen SVP Van Patten, joined by
Kirk Johnson
and
Mark Abbott.
And ladies and gentlemen, we actually have a guest, very esteemed member of the black literary community. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, hey, hey.
Mr. Cameron Robertson, a.k.a. Rob Cameron in the building. Ladies and gentlemen. What the entire fuck?
Oh, that's the greatest. That's the greatest intro I've ever had. Ever in the history of intros.
So, while I turn the microphone a little more towards you so people can actually hear you.
Why are you sound like an extra from an Alice Walker movie?
I have two different voices. I can do that one you just heard, which is fucking random. And I can do Arnold. I can do Arnold like a mofo. But other than that, you get what you get.
Wow. Well, you know what? Yeah, I like that. Arnold and Bokeem in a movie together.
It's so twins. Is better or
twins, two.
Oh. Twins two.
Twins two. Twins two.
Oh,
twins two.
Wilbur Turner.
Come on, Bokeem. God damn it.
Yeah, Bokeem, exactly.
Pass the wine. Pass the wine.
You want me to pass the wine?
Yes. Fill me up.
Over to you.
I'll take my fist and ram it into your stomach.
Oh no, man. Spider-Man wouldn't appreciate that.
No. Do you know what she doesn't? It's not a tumor, though. Mm-hmm. That's important. It's not a tumor.
I keep trying to tell you boys, no playing in the house. All right.
Sorry, Daddy.
Wow. I'm done. I'm done.
I quit. It's my house, and I live here. Go ahead, Spanish, though.
I'm just a guest.
Yes. Go ahead, I'm like, go ahead, worry.
And since you're the guest.
Yes.
You, since you're the guest, you should tell our listeners, which, of course, are mostly our friends in Brooklyn, but we do have random folks listening to us in the Netherlands, Canada, and Japan.
Yeah, Japan.
Ajimashite, Robertson desu, Dokyo yoroshiku.
Holy sh! Oh, you're lingual.
He is.
Multilingual.
I'm from the West.
But that's probably just the one person in Japan. So you probably want to do the rest of your shit in English, starting now.
Okay, so my name is Cameron Robertson. That's the name that my mother gave me, but I write under the pen name Rob Cameron. I am one of the elite organizers for Brooklyn Speculative Fiction Writers, which is one of, if not the largest, speculative fiction writing group in New York City. We have 300 members plus, and we have up to 15 different story critique sessions, either novel or short story critique sessions during the month, every month, along with other meetings like KGB or New York Science Fiction, or we have expert meetups where we have people like Capolente or Fran Well come in, or agents and editors come in to talk to people about how they can get published best, and how they can best not piss off an agent or editor so that they can get onto that list much more quickly.
So that's important.
That's very important.
Okay.
You want to believe the stories that we hear about what people think is a good idea to put into the email. But also, I am managing editor of the Kaleidocast, which is Brooklyn Speculative Fiction Writers podcast, where we do our very best to get new voices in speculative fiction and put them alongside some of the best writers that are working today. So our table of contents for season two coming up probably in November starts with N.K. Jemisin. Then we go to Carlos Fernandez. Then we go to Zigzag Claiborne. Then we have Nancy Hightower, Mike Allen, Fenderson Jelly Clark. If you guys follow him, he is prolific. We have Layla Wilde. We have Tunt, Elliot Rusk. I'll go through all of them again at the end. I don't want to take too much time. Although Theodore.
Well, wait, where's the name of the way? It's Kaleidocast.
Yeah, Kaleidocast.nyc is the website.
Okay.
And this season, we're doing our first Kickstarter because our goal is to work up to a professional market because people should be paid their worth and no one is just worth 3 cents a word. You should get paid for the art you're creating. And so for that, we're doing a Kickstarter for it. So if you like speculative fiction, if you want to see amazing artists on authors and actors doing the work, getting paid for the work, then please support our Kickstarter, which is, you can find us on Kickstarter at KaleidaCast NYC, or just look up KaleidaCast, KaleidaCoast, KaleidaCast. And I'll talk about that more at the end, but right now we have to get on with the show. The show is going to be epic. Spider-Man! Spider-Man! Pew, pew, pew! That's how
Arnold does that, do that. Does that, was that the...
That's Arnold.
Introducing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
basically is what. All right, so
I like that.
That's a kind of a segue gone wrong. Hey, so Cam, you're. Thank you for that. It's not that often that we actually get to be serious on this show. Unless we're upset about Trump being elected or some shit like that.
Oh, when we go shopping at the Emporium, right?
Well, or we're shopping at the Emporium.
I mean, that comes up. I mean, it's, you know, as the producer for this show, when I'm looking at all the stories that we have, we notice a trend. There is a kind of, not a post-apocalyptic, but there's a little bit more of an angry feel in some of the stories.
Oh.
Because people are dealing with, you know, the situation that we're in, and they're doing it through story. And some of the things are very interesting. They were written before Donald Trump was elected president, or you even consider him being president. One of them, a Zach ZYZ story called Right to Bear Arms, it is so on the money, scary how close it is to what we are now, and at the same time pushes us forward in time to a point where the military, you know, is much more, the military technology allows for much more advanced prosthetics, and at the same time we've got to a point in our society where you can't even really talk about politics and the president in a negative fashion without being worried about somebody coming down on you hard. There's an interesting 1984 kind of feel to it, even though it goes, that certainly goes way beyond what 1984 was talking about. So our stories are both serious, and they're all good. Our stories range from good to bloody amazing. Theodore Goss's story is so, it's meta that it blows your mind. I mean, even though I've read it multiple times, there's a part where I'm, you know, I've read the story ahead of time. I'm turning pages to go back and forth and say, what just happened? That was crazy what just happened. I don't want to spoil it too much, but just to say that it's worth listening to the stories, what we're doing with it, absolutely.
All right. Thank you for that. You're here to, you know.
You got fired.
And now... Now that we've done that, we've covered that, and we'll sort of recap at the end.
Yeah.
But now, for the fun portion of the show, we are now going to discuss Spider-Man.
You gotta do that.
I ain't got no money for orchestra. All the money I had for orchestra, I got spent on a ticket.
And there you have it. And there you have it, folks.
That's a lot of money.
It's like shit.
$2.
But like
it.
But you know what? You gotta love the Alamo Draft House for that. But anyway, Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Well,
I enjoyed it, fellas.
Oh.
What were our thoughts?
Pitch and Woo.
Pitch and Woo?
That shit was awesome.
Pitch and Woo?
Yeah. Here we go.
Wow.
You ready to see, you ready to see Life? Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence in the prison back in the 19... Yeah, what was one of the characters? Are you there, Pitch and Woo? No. Male prison. Yeah, tense and shit. Spider-Man was awesome.
Not sure what,
I don't know how the hell that, we segued into that.
That wasn't so much a segue as it was
that,
right now.
That was barnstorming.
I've seen it twice already, once for free. You guys can
You're going to keep digging that in. We're going to keep on talking about that free
3D.
Ticket.
I walked out of there. I walked out of there paying for tickets and a whole bunch of other shit. So, you know, it's like, come on. This one free.
And my girlfriend, my girlfriend paid for the second one too. So.
Wait. You ain't paid for Jack for the Spider-Man, right?
Basically.
Wow. I don't know how to feel about that.
So, obviously, he loved the movie because...
He ain't had to pay for it. Wait. Not that we're saying if I paid too much, it was still great.
Yeah. But he probably likes it more.
I'm not upset about
it.
Yes, but he probably likes it more because...
I get to tell a story that pisses people off.
Dude, man.
That'll do it. All right.
Dude, man.
It was actually, you know, on the real, I really enjoyed Michael Keaton as a villain in this. And that whole surprise turn that none of us saw coming.
No, with him.
Well, I don't know if that would. I think we're 2 weeks out. If you haven't seen it by now, turn this off and go see Valerian. and then come back and then you can pick us up later on.
I want to see that movie, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
No. You listen to the whole show. No turning the show off.
We won't spoil. No spoilers. But
no, that's not saying we're not going to spoil it.
I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie for you.
That's
why I'm telling you, go see Valerian.
Well, just go get a bib. Just get up close. Go ahead, spoil that movie.
Man. All right, I remember this. I was reluctant to be paying any cash for it, so I did a Cody.
It's a Cody.
Those who know will know. I did a Cody. I saw like first 10 minutes of it. I called Steve. I was like, yo, Steve, how they gonna do that shit to my man? What they did to Vulcan, for the Vulture. How the Vulture got started, his motivations. That was some grimy shit they did in the beginning.
Well, it is the government.
It is the government.
No, it ain't just the government. It's Tony Stark, too. That shit is just, that was, look, you can't even.
Where were you during the Bloomberg administration? There you go. I rest my case.
Look, you can't talk about where I was during the Bloomberg. Look, but you want to see a brother in jail? Stop talking about that stuff, man.
This is how billionaires keep their money.
That's exactly my point.
Money for the billionaires.
Understood. But dude, I put like this. Watching that setup, because I did finally go pay to see the movie. I was at a point where, you know what? Fuck Iron Man. There was a point where I was like, all right, I am actually enjoying both the Vulture because of his motivations. Them shits was real. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything else, of all the villains we had in MCU already, the Vulture was the one that you were like, I'm really torn between you getting away with this shit or not.
I actually wasn't torn. You're
a heartless motherfucker.
No. Listen, the whole thing is that he wasn't evil. It wasn't something like I'm bent on destroying the world. The bottom line is that I paid money to have my guys. I bought trucks. I did all this stuff. And the least you could have done was buy out my contract.
Exactly.
That's the least you could have done. But no. So what? I mean, that's what people resort to.
Yeah.
So,
no, I'm not saying. Wait, hold on. I'm on the Vulture. I'm with the Vulture on that.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I'm with the beast.
It made for a great story at the very end.
Yeah,
Spidey, you know, Spider-Man, Peter Parker saying, "I'm going to stay for a little guy."
See, here's my. I saw the movie
when he said that shit.
When I,
you know what I mean? That all came together.
When I saw the movie the second time, then my critiquing brain turned on because, you know, the first time it's a shock and all. Holy shit! Can I curse?
Yes.
Holy.
Man, how many times?
I always gotta ask, but I got a potty mouth. I always gotta, you know.
See what the fuck you guys say.
All right, so because first time it's just fucking shock and awe. I can't believe they pulled this off so well. This is my Spider-Man.
Right.
But the second time I watch, I'm critiquing, saying, you know what? This is class warfare. This is the little guy who tried to take out the big guy, and he lost because the superhero said, "Oh no, you shouldn't do that because stealing is wrong." Yet, money was taken out of his pocket.
Right.
And it was total class warfare. Where the hero should have been, quite frankly, on his side, except for the fact that he was slain. Peter Parker is a moral human being. He's a moral, naive human being who has not had to make the kind of decisions that the Vulture, Michael Keaton's character, has had to make.
Well, he is only 15.
But he's a child. Yeah, that's the point, that he sees the world through a child's
eyes. Exactly. So it goes to the question of the naivete of the hero. Versus the villain who, a very particular villain, who was only villainous because he's meeting somebody, another character, who is of a slightly less experienced moral compass, you know? And otherwise, Iron Man would be the villain in that case. He absolutely would have been the villain. The fact that he is a hero, the fact that he's a millionaire, Iron Man can only exist as a trillion-dollar man.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to be the father figure,
yeah,
he's trying to show Peter how to be a good hero. It's him from his ivory tower looking down and saying, oh yeah, here's some villainous shit, and let me, you go take care of it.
This is interesting. Let me know if I'm a little off, if the wine's throwing me off the rails on this.
Have some more wine.
Yeah, I just did. So, as far as class warfare is concerned, if you have superpowers or you have this technology, but you don't have the disposable funds or the money to still live a life, you're going to be a villain. All the superheroes have, for lack of a better term, a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Not one of them is actually having to actually live on their own.
Except for Peter Parker.
And not even Peter Parker. Aunt May is taking care of all of his bills.
Mm. Well, the Hulk.
The Hulk don't need nothing because he's trying to stay away from it. So he's not really, he's an anti-hero because he's not even trying to be a hero. That nigga just get mad, a plane fall on him, they could get mad, they could start breaking shit. And it just happens that a villain who lost his job,
yep.
who's trying to get shit together so he can pay for the shit that he got.
Yep. Ragnarok, Thor is royalty. Captain America is a government employee. Hawkeye, government employee.
Falcon.
Government employee.
Black Widow.
Government employee.
The only one is the Ant-Man.
And he's a criminal, too. He's
right. Now he is. Yeah. And he was
he started out as a criminal. Exactly. All of our... Some of our government employees are now on the lam.
No.
Are they not?
Not on the lam. They're in jail.
Right.
Well, they're out now.
Civil War. But then again, will they become criminals? Because how are they going to maintain their equipment? Their three basic needs.
Well,
food,
I mean,
water, shelter.
Even as practical as all of that may be,
yeah.
Captain America's not knocking over a liquor stand.
He can't.
That's not happening.
Right, he can't. So, but I'm saying, but Captain America must be then our exception. Because he doesn't even have to. Because guess who his buddy is now?
Black Panther,
the King of Wakanda.
Yeah. So we have another fund.
He has another place to stay to not worry about having the food to feed himself, to clothe himself. All this extra shit that Vulture brought up.
So you're saying Captain America is being subsidized by Africa?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not by Africa. By Wakanda.
But still.
Well, keep in mind.
Do you understand where I'm going with that?
I do. Okay. Keep in mind.
Okay, but Wakandian government employee?
That might.
Listen.
If Black Panther says.
Clutching a paycheck.
Yeah, if he's not a guest of the Royal House, he's an employee of the Royal House.
Keep in mind what Captain America did admit to. He couldn't afford to live in Brooklyn.
Oh, yes.
So he did admit that. He was like, I can't even afford to live in Brooklyn. So
he is a government employee.
Yeah. That's some shit.
I know. I'm a government employee.
He's a government employee who, you know, post full-on gentrification...
Is he gentrification anymore? Because he's been there from the jump.
That's true.
He's original Brooklyn.
That is.
Well, if
he left for a while.
Look, if he held on to his lease while he was in the iceberg.
Come on, man. The nigga was stuck in the iceberg. You can't just put that shit on him.
That's the case.
That's not gonna work.
He's a millionaire.
He can sell that. He can sell that for a couple million dollars, depending on where he was. If he was in Crown Heights or in
do you remember? Remember Steve Rogers before he got the Super Serum? That nigga ain't owning shit.
I think he lived in Ditmas Park. So if he did, then...
In the park.
In the park.
In the park.
Yo,
I thought you lived with Bucky.
Why you had some plants and leaves in your hair?
I actually
want to go back on something you touched with. So, looking at... The villains from many of these
MCUs.
I guess it's safe to say we should sympathize with them more than feel because.
Well, with whom?
On the back. Well,
Ego. He's gonna have a fart monster destroy the Earth.
Well, there's certain villains that fell into. The situation they did, not because they were intent on being, like, the Vulture wasn't intent on being villainous.
Right.
He just trying to put food on his table.
For his family.
He
got a real family.
Doc Ock
wasn't doing that. You know, that was an accident. That wasn't something like he wasn't trying to be evil. He was trying to find some other way
to make money
to use whatever that invention was.
Robotics.
Lizard.
So the same get out of job.
Lizard the same thing. He was trying to grow his arm back
for the military. You know,
Green
Goblin just worked for the military.
Green Goblin was working for the military.
Green Goblin just trying to grow his arm back.
And Green Goblin, he was sabotaging.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he was totally sabotaging.
So Spider-Man villains, just on a... Because you name most of the...
Most of them are Spider-Man villains.
Most of them are Spider-Man villains, which has something
They're to the guy about. Next door.
Right, yeah.
Trying to... And I think that's...
Just the little guy.
The thing that I appreciated about the movie...
Keeping your head above water. Making the way when you can.
Making the way when you can. Damn, Arnold. Damn.
I'm sorry.
Just because
I missed the reframe.
Look, Arnold, you weren't even in this country when Good Times was on TV.
Just because it's a theme song, don't make it less true.
Oh, that'd be awesome. JJ's the next villain.
What the devil?
You just
said... No, JJ.
JJ Evans is the next... Can we call Daddy Longlegs or something? He'd be the next Spider-Man villain.
So every time he shows up, somebody's yelling out, damn.
Dum.
I will say this. I appreciated the fact that there was a sequence where the Vulture was tricking. He was delaying Spider-Man, but when he starts to explain to him why he did what he did, and he goes, "Why are you telling me this?" He said, "Because I need you to understand."
Right.
You know how life works, and of course I'm trying to delay you because I've got this thing that's gonna drop this building down on you. So it's
right. I mean, yeah. I mean, but that still was like a great moment, right? That was like, I still want to see you fight the bad guy, but I do feel something for the bad guy.
Yeah. And can I tell you that moment after the building is dropped on top of Peter Parker?
Yeah.
That was taken like frame for frame from an iconic scene in Spider-Man. I think it wasn't the Vulture. I forget who dropped the building onto it. I looked it up later on. I forget who it was.
I want to say it was one of the first Todd McFarlane's, right?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Was it the Rhino, maybe?
No. I forget who it was, but that scene where he is down under the building. He's
trying to lift that.
That is, I found the frame. That is like taken, like right, that shot is just dead on balls accurate.
Wow.
This is what they were doing in that particular scene. We had to dig down deep and be Spider-Man more than Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. And that was, aside from the scene where he turns around, where Michael Keaton turns around with a gun and says, so, that this was the other pivotal scene for me. He's like, you know what, I have no choice but to either die or own being the Spider-Man. Because the man can't lift that,
right.
But Peter Parker... What is Spider-Man's top weight? I think it's like he can lift like a couple
of tons.
Yeah, like two or three. No, he can lift a mid-sized vehicle, right? A car.
Yeah.
I thought he could pick up a bus.
A bus.
Yeah. Okay. He can throw a car, but he can pick up a bus.
He can bench press.
Yeah. So it's like what? That's like 8 tons.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds about right, though.
Yeah. So having to pick that up, and that's the first time he's ever had to do something. Absolutely.
Keep us honest, ladies and gentlemen. You know our Facebook page. Keep us honest. 8 tons. Can Spider-Man lift 8 tons?
First of all, can a spider lift 8 tons?
No, a spider cannot lift 8 tons.
I don't know what power that is.
A giant spider.
He is supposed to have
in proportionate
strength of a spider. Yeah. That size.
Right. And a spider can lift more, what,
well,
8 times his weight?
You see a spider that's man size walking towards you. Well, I'm here to help you. Where's the villain? That's the octopus. I'm running the fuck away.
Look, obviously,
if there's ever any situation where a giant spider is walking towards me, it's some American gods. I'm going to start training. I'm going to try to do some shit. At this point, I'm the god. I'm a god. It's a fucking giant spider. That shit ain't supposed to exist.
If
that's the case, I can do this.
If there's a giant spider walking to you, you're a hobbit.
And I have swords.
That's my point.
Looking it up now, Spider-Man, Peter Parker can cling to most surfaces, obviously. Superhuman strength, able to lift 10 tons optimally.
Wow.
Optimally.
What does that mean?
Dictionary. I have no idea.
It means that, you know, he's had a...
It means like if he's tired, didn't necessarily, have a nice good tons. Breakfast, he might top off at about 7.
Yeah, he's had 7 to 8 hours of sleep. He had a full breakfast with Tosi's Mini Wheats as well. You know, he's had some cereal to go along with the eggs and the beans.
All
and
night. And then he's got the Mary J.
Yeah.
Then you blew the five.
Well, so,
probably 9.
Real quick, let's talk for a second. Let's talk for a second about how this movie changed certain things about the mythos. Because I remember when this whole Spider-Man thing first started, teenagers were very different.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like I feel like they, in very, very isolated ways, they were very, very pointed at making this palatable for today's kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that struck me was that Flash, instead of being a bruiser,
right,
white boy,
he's a troll
that plays football, he's an emotionally abusive Indian dude.
Right. Yeah,
that was like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's brilliant. And exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, it was like, there were a few things that I liked about it in the sense that, first of all, Queens looked like Queens. And mm-hmm. I don't mean just geographically.
Yep.
I mean that there was a lot of goddamn brown people in this flick.
Yes. If you don't know,
lots of brown people.
People listening, you don't know, Queens is the most diverse community in all of the United States. You'll find somebody from every language group living in Queens.
Yeah, he's right, actually. Yep.
Exactly.
That's real talk.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like I said, instead of big goofball white boy, first of all, let's address the fact that that kid wouldn't even be in the same fucking school as
Peter
Parker.
Exactly.
So there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
You need Flash. How you get Flash from whatever Indian name this kid must actually have, that's a whole other thing.
Is that rich or something? Yeah, rich. There's a rich family.
I feel like he's the kind of asshole where he gives himself a nickname.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes.
I can rock with that.
So no, call him Flash.
So right.
Right.
And teenage life has changed in the sense that if you had a bully,
mm-hmm.
you had to beat that bully's ass. Like, that was, like, that was life
growing up
as a teenager up until now.
Yeah.
Now, you've got anti-bullying PSAs,
mm-hmm.
you've got all this other intervention shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you a bully in 2017?
Wow.
You're an emotional bully.
Yeah.
Penis Parker. That's how you do it. Because you get physical with somebody, they go cap your ass.
Exactly. Well, I guess it depends on what. I mean, like, they're part of Queens, so nobody's capping anybody.
Well,
what?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean cap as in.
Yeah, but you, what I mean is
blah blah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm a public school teacher, so I worked. I first came to New York City. I was working in Queens, and actually in East, just west of Flushing. So that's all like it's all Colombian and Dominican kids, and Puerto Rican kids, and black kids,
mm-hmm.
and. They was swing on each other, but it was more like the show. Nobody's trying to
really
hurt you.
Right.
But they're doing like their families has some serious issues. The part of Queens that he was in, that was like east of Forest Hills, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's east of Forest Hills. That is mostly Asian. That is Asian and white and Asian and Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
and that's where he was. That's where he was going to school. I could have sworn that high school. I could have sworn that was Forest Hills High School. I used to live right around the block from them, but
mm-hmm.
apparently they were further out.
Oh, like, no kidding.
They're supposed to be further out.
Right.
Okay.
Large tourism. Well, somebody actually brought up an interesting point. That if Flash Thompson, because we ain't doing the origin story no more, he's been doing this for a while, and Peter Parker realizing how strong he is, Flash ain't a bully no more.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So to have him as an emotional bully, because Peter still got emotional shit, that's how that shit works.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And for them to actually go that route, all y'all dudes crying SJW bullshit. Fuck y'all.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I mean, I get into arguments with my friends about the Peter Parkers or the last three iterations of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
First of all, I've never been a Tobey Maguire fan. Never,
really?
Ever been a Tobey Maguire fan.
Okay.
He's a 40-year-old man who doesn't play that same goddamn thing every movie he does. But whatever. Even when he's 18. It's my opinion. But in the first Spider-Man, there was that moment. None of my moments that were really key to me or him being Peter Parker, except that first moment when he is transitioning from Peter Parker to Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's right after Uncle Ben has died,
yeah.
And he climbs up the wall in a rage, and he jumps that pole,
mm-hmm.
right? And he shoots a web. The instinct just takes over. He shoots the web, and then he realizes, oh, shit, I just shot a web out of my body, and I'm about to take a step off of a 20-story drop and chase these guys. And that's about to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only moment that really stands out to me as a Peter Parker moment in that movie. In this iteration of Spider-Man, I might even talk about Amazing Spider-Man because there are things that it takes too long to talk about. It was Peter Parker all the way through. You don't get that moment when he becomes Spider-Man, which is honestly okay for me because they've been telling that
origin story forever.
Get the fuck past it. We get it. Just move on.
You want that in between story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you know the story of Michael Jordan, and then you know the story of him becoming one of the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
You want that in between shit of how he got there,
or even
that's what Spider-Man is.
Or even just get beyond that. We were talking earlier today about Ezekiel, the storyline with Ezekiel. There are so many Spider-Man story arcs. Him as a young teen, him as a young adult, which are just huge.
Mm-hmm.
Get past the origin story so we can get to that before we get tired of the comic book movies.
Oh, I'd like to give a soul clap for Aunt May.
What the fuck? And she is hot.
Greatest last line of all time.
Tomei.
And she didn't realize how hot she is either.
Rissa Tomei.
That's
the
funny part of it.
She
has to know.
Dude, when that dude came out with the extra meal, and she was like, oh, what's this for?
For you.
And he's like, I think he loved you. And she's like, no. Really?
No.
Like, you have no clue. She is a grown-up Sabrina from the Scooby-Doo.
That's hilarious.
She is Sabrina from Scooby-Doo. She hot, and she don't realize it because she's got the glasses on.
One last thing I'll touch on before we move on, which I thought was very slick of them.
Yes.
Because as an old head, you know, you're expecting to hear certain names. You're expecting to, you know, be like, oh, that's who you gonna be. Oh, that's who, that, da, 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 da.
Right.
So with the girls.
Oh, yes.
They threw a Liz and a Michelle at us.
Yes.
And as an old head, we're all kind of like, who the hell? All right, fine, whatever. All right. This must just be some stuff that's going to, maybe they're going to die, so, you know, whatever. You know? So you just kind of dismiss it, and then at the very end, Zendaya, you know, there was already talk that she was supposed to be,
right.
You know, but it's Michelle, what? And then she's playing this, it's interesting also that they let her play this sort of, non-sexualized stalker.
Right. No, yes, she's like goth, she's a goth stalker.
Right, to kind of keep her in kind of an innocent, I'm not kissing anybody lane.
Right.
Like, in a way, it was brilliantly executed, I thought. And then, of course, the drop of that at the end, she's MJ. So,
the crowd went
nuts. At this point, you're like, I can't wait to see the damn sequel now. Not to mention the fact that the sequel is more than likely going to pick up with the bedroom, with the what the fuck.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Well, no.
I feel like
they're
probably going to jump ahead.
Because we got Infinity Wars coming,
we're going to keep
moving forward.
That's a good point.
But I want to see how long they're going to pull. That's the only thing, because they're going to have to drag this out for, because he's a sophomore. There's only so much of this that's going to go on in high school before.
He becomes an adult.
No, it's just that, you know, as stories grow, it's going to become, I liken it to Buffy.
Okay. Oh.
Mm.
So, at the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, before she leaves high school, they give her this umbrella award. And they said, when they gave her the award, they said, we're giving this to you because you don't realize that we know all the things you've done for us and how you've looked out for us. So we're giving this to you as a sort of thank you. So meaning that everyone in the school realized that she'd been fighting these demons. They just never said anything.
Yeah.
So eventually, we'll see how long he can play teenage Peter Parker.
Before he actually has to have a press conference?
Well, because he's got to grow up. The thing is that he's got to mature quickly now.
Mm-hmm. Well, to that point, I would say, me personally, next movie, done with high school. Because they would have done high school, Infinity Wars, a whole lot of shit's going on.
The
actor who I love, no matter what you do, he's going to start looking older. Let's see, do CGI. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Make him college. Or make
but
him an adult.
That,
and then move the story.
That's forward. 4 years. You're saying that between this movie and Infinity Wars, it's going to be 4 years because he's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that they made him so...
That was
my only issue.
He was fighting Infinity Wars and got left back.
or...
You ain't been in class for 2 years, Pete. Where you been at?
Oh, or man, he graduates...
I was fighting this dude with a glove.
Yeah.
And he had like 6 gems in it. And you're going to be a sophomore at 17.
Or he graduates early. He's smart enough.
He could be early. Right, yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
But he's an attendance record. He's hard.
But the thing is, like, also, you have we don't know how much time passes between this movie and then you have Thor, the Avengers, you have all that shit's going to happen.
No, Hannibal Buress is going to hold him back.
Yeah, so who knows what at what.
Hannibal Buress is going to keep him back.
Stop it now!
Everybody's going to be like, man, he's a smart kid. Nah, man, keep his ass back. Hannibal Buress is going to be the next one.
Speaking of mildly famous black men in the movie.
Yes.
Bokeem Woodbine is the Shocker.
Oh. Yes.
What? That was...
We
would have not touched on that.
Because we all know that I do the whole Bokeem thing. But I was happy... No, because Bokeem has a tendency sometimes, depending on the roles they give him... It's always been my thing that he kind of semi-overacts.
Really?
The way he puts a lot more emphasis than he really needs to. And this one, and I think with this one, he played it straight to the average Joe. Just like, look, right. I'm along for the ride because I'm just like you. I need to bring money home. I need to feed my family.
Right.
Because even like, he's like, you know what? That's it. I'm done. Spider-Man showed up. The feds were... Spider-Man showed up. The feds were waiting for us.
Yeah.
So we need to leave.
Right,
just one more job.
He's loyal. Mm-hmm. He's a good friend. That's what a good...
He's a good friend. That was also a cash incentive.
Since you put it that way, they should have had him fight
Iron Man?
No. What's Spider-Man's boy?
Ned?
Yes.
Oh really?
They should have had Ned and the Shocker go up against each other.
Oh God, he would die.
The two best friends.
And you heard it first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but
Ned has such a high from fighting the Shocker, he becomes the Rhino.
There it is.
Like some celebrity death match. Ned versus Ned.
It's Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man has to fight his best friend, Ned, the Rhino.
All right.
You should have let me wear the mask, Peter.
You took all my Legos, Peter. I didn't get to build that
Death Star. I had to Death Star with you, and you didn't want to do it. Now I'm going to have to Rhino you. The Rhino. Oh!
Why are you doing this?
I'm going to get you with my horn.
Why are you doing this, Ned? 436 pieces. Legos.
Yay, overtone Rhino conversation I've ever fucking heard.
You would never let me.
Like, what the fuck? Like, broke Rhino Mountain or some shit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Yaska goes to
broke
the Rhino.
The Rhino.
I like to thank God, my family.
Broke Rhino Mountain.
All right. Well, anyway, in case you folks listening have not already figured out, yes, we approve of going to see Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah,
at least twice.
If you haven't already, yes, and of course, if you're as lucky as old Cam here, go see it twice. Order the truffle butter popcorn.
Make sure you go
It was worth the money. It was worth the money.
Hello, love.
I'm the cheapest man in the crew. It's worth the money.
Don't try to walk away out of this.
She's not going to watch this.
I hope not, because it's on radio.
Her first language is French.
That would mean she's out that window right now. If she's watching.
Well, that's a conversation. Maybe you know.
We went there from gay rhinos to this. We go there a lot.
It's a girlfriend doing a gecko on the side of the building.
Right.
Listening in.
That's adult shit. That's adult shit.
She's the gecko.
Wait, Michelle? I'm just... The gecko. The gecko. She's what inspired the lizard.
Oh my god.
She punches you out, but she saves you 15%
of ladies and gentlemen, try to figure out the next African animal that will be Peter Parker's arch villain. The meerkat. No. The warthog.
The hyena.
Badger. Badger's African.
The badger. No, you're right.
Badass motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Because the honey badger doesn't give a fuck. Not a fuck.
This is the honey badger.
Not a fuck. Hey!
What?
Let's jump off this and move on to Game of Thrones.
Yes!
Thank you, Mark. That's the bell. We keep a hotel bell here.
That's the bell of progression.
Yeah, so bell of progression.
So is there housekeeping coming now? Some room service?
Wow.
No?
Really? Really?
No.
Really?
Well,
okay.
Yes, bell.
It's an emporium, too, you know.
That's right. This is the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium. Game of Thrones.
Bitches.
Stormborn.
That's right. Game of Thrones debuted, and we actually, not so much a class trip, we had a nice gathering at the Abbott household.
Yes.
Which I hope you were supposed to do because your wife hears this now.
Yeah, she.
You mean you had them niggas in the house? You know,
she gonna come over.
I can't leave you alone.
That's exactly. I'm actually picturing saying
if
that.
If my wife did not know, trust me, she's coming over here to do an aria. She'll be sitting here dressed like me, looking at Steve. By the way, no, she's gonna look at Kirk. By the way,
oh no, I'm
you
doing
put your
on.
Cools out on my steps.
Oh no,
I thought I already talked to you about that.
I'm sorry, I'm doing a Theon. Right out the window.
First of all, you can't fit out that window.
Oh, I mean, Santa Claus, nigga. Wow. Thank you. Unnecessary roughness. A foul.
I'm just saying, you not leaving me alone here to get killed.
Shit, you got the knives here. I don't know where your stash is. Man from Uncle.
15 yards for the window foul. The window was at least 3 yards.
First down. Like, the man from Uncle.
Stormborn. Yes.
Anyway, so first episode. Speaking of Arya pulling a whole.
That's a way to kick off
gang murder.
Yes,
that was brilliant.
And I said, do you watch? You watch the outtakes or the after show as well. Mm-hmm. We didn't plan on starting with that, but it worked so well. Like, well, we gotta start with this now. It seems so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And why the fuck not?
Corleone on a whole bunch.
Actually, I'll take it back.
That's not a Corleone. That's a Shakespeare gentleman. That's a Titus. It's a Titus Andronicus.
Mm. Yeah. I like that.
Titus Andronicus. And that shit was proper.
Oh, they didn't know. They should have known.
They should have known, but they didn't know. Fuck the phrase. How's that?
Yep. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Fuck the phrase.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody need to get fucked? I mean, there's a lot of people need to get fucked, but they particularly.
Ain't nobody walking around cities with a phrase shirt on trying to big up the two towers. Fuck you, nigga.
That's true. I haven't seen that.
You don't see that. You see Stark, you see Targaryen.
I'm trying to think if I even saw it in the HBO store.
Nah, man.
Yo, Twin Towers, yo.
Nah.
Nope.
Yo,
nope.
Niggas is walking around with a fish before they walk around with the two towers, yo.
You know, and not for nothing, and what I thought was fairly awesome with the three of us, we all had on three different sigils.
Sigils. Mm-hmm. We did, yes.
Yep.
You guys got the shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got shirts.
Yeah. Man, I'm Martell.
Yeah,
all
Martell.
Day.
I had Targaryen.
You're a crazy motherfucker.
And you are, and you had?
I had a Stark.
You had Starks.
Too heroic for your own good.
Just to jump ahead a little bit. Last night's episode.
Yes.
So Khaleesi has asked Jon Snow to
bend the knee.
To come to Dragon Rock.
Yeah, Dragonstone.
Now, what's interesting is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Jon Snow part Targaryen?
Yes, nobody knows.
And that just makes. I just keep picturing in my head what happens if he walks in and one of the dragons are present.
Mm.
and senses that he is part Targaryen and behaves a certain way to him.
Well, what is that? What does that mean to be part Targaryen? Do they have this affinity for dragons? They've always had an affinity.
Well, it's your bloodline. It's part of your bloodline. The dragons themselves are not going to hurt a Targaryen.
Ever. Any Targaryen. Are you sure? In the book.
He's read the books. Well, Kirk has read the books.
I'm reading the books now, and actually, because right now you go into a history, right? Because then you're talking about wars of the
queens. Not the history. There is that one guy who is part Targaryen.
Griffin.
And he tries to...
Griffin. From the books.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It doesn't go well for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is he really Targaryen at that point?
Because he was
propped up by Varys and Valerio.
But as far as we know, his lineage is Targaryen.
Right. So then maybe something else is going on with the Targaryen.
Because on the show...
Targaryen. Well, no. Let me get this straight. Now, Targaryen... What is the name of the actual people?
Westerosian?
No. The Targaryens are of a different people. They're from Essos. But they're not Giscari. They're not Rhoynar. Rhoynar are the Dorne. The Dornish kingdom is part Rhaenor, part Andor, right? So then you have the Targaryens were at war with the Giscari Empire back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Giscari now a race as opposed to a family line?
So now we're getting into some weird kind of
because the thing is, division. It's the blood, like you're saying, it's the bloodline, mm-hmm. but not all Targaryen bloodline is dragon line.
Right.
Right?
That's true.
Right.
So that's
because on the show the only other individual that has gotten close to those dragons without being killed is Tyrion.
Yeah.
So and for whatever reason, they've never decided we want to eat him or roast him for whatever because he took a risk of going down in there.
Oh,
but I think this may be simply an inconsistency in the story. Okay.
I have a good one. Want to try this? So. We all know in real life the idea of always having a pure bloodline will lead to some fucked up kids.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what if the dragons actually recognize not a pure / bloodline, but a strong bloodline? Mm-hmm. A Targaryen and a Stark is a strong bloodline. A Targaryen is not a strong bloodline.
Because but they can smell kind of like dogs can smell cancer in the blood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Smell the impurity of. Because because you're not supposed to be fucking your sister and having kids by her. That's just, aside from being nasty, genetically fucked up. Kids come out with teeth all funny looking, and you start walking with a limp because you have a third tail.
Was that a kick at British people?
That was a whole ruling family.
Ed, Cersei, and Jaime. Not
so. Well, actually, I was going for the whole. What is it? The dynasty, the Hofstra dynasty, the whole German Hofstra dynasty, like marrying cousins and shit.
Yeah.
And it had this thing where. I think it was like the overbite was like so prominent because they married within the bloodline.
Yeah.
In the German, because they had German, British, and French. There's this line that everybody's actually related to each other.
Yeah.
And the kids come out with this, that Hofstra dynasty. I can't remember. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do the research for me, please, and drop it off on online. But there's actually a dynasty that they used to talk about that if they had like an overbite or certain deformity, it lets them know that they're pure bloodline.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you guys are overthinking this.
This is the real thing, dude.
I'm thinking, and I'm not knocking what you're saying, but I'm thinking for the sake of the show, one of the writers said it would be really cool if Tyrion did a scene with the dragon. And that was kind of fucking it.
But that wasn't that in the book?
There's a theory in the book that Tyrion's mom was raped by the Mad King. Because Jaime and Cersei...
So are we saying Tyrion is a Targaryen?
Yes, there's a possibility. The real reason why Tywin hates Tyrion is because Tyrion is not his son.
Well, yes, like one more reason why to hate him. Like now, because he's not his son and he's a dwarf.
So it has nothing to do with the mother dying
and his mother dying as well. That's why.
Right.
That's why Cersei hates him.
That's why Cersei hates him.
And also for the prophecy.
Right.
But the other reason is there's that theory. Everybody's throwing out these fucking theories. One stupid theory is that Varys is actually a mermaid. Somebody should be shot for that one.
What?
Yeah, that Varys is a mermaid. That's a theory thrown out. But there's one that...
A mermaid!
During the time... Yeah, for real. Real talk. Somebody actually throw that out. Various as a mermaid. That's why he's able to travel back and forth. Back and forth. We had the same conversation a few minutes ago. Yo, how is he able to get from Dawn to Marine so quickly? That nigga mermaid. Him and Aquaman have, like, mermaid children together.
That's nasty. That's fucking nasty. Hey. But, oh my god.
But hey, but that's part of the whole thing, that Tyrion is actually the bastard child of the Mad King and Mrs. Lannister.
If I can, I'd like to raise a glass. I'd like to raise a glass.
Not an empty glass.
I'd like to raise a glass mm-hmm. to the Unsullied, who got his groove on last night.
Oh! Great worm! Okay, wet worm! That nigga gonna die now.
Yo. He's not Unsullied, though. At least not from the neck.
Don't make me do a spit take in somebody else's house.
Oh, my.
But no.
Oh, my.
No. I have to ask this, though.
Yes.
Must because, be. No.
Oh, well, No.
Don't you find this odd?
Yes.
So, the Unsullied.
Yeah.
He's never been with a woman.
Yeah.
So it would stand to reason that you really wouldn't know the art of doing certain things with a woman because you haven't been with them. Mm. But I also found interesting. Hold on.
His first instinct.
Hold on. Jon Snow's first instinct with the wildling woman was to do the same damn thing. What school are they teaching you?
Because
he is an educated man.
Yes! He is. But he was supposed to be. I'm saying.
Oh, no, wait.
You fellas, all this means that there is at least one female writer on the staff. All it means.
She wanted to see some unsullied ass. And see the unsullied get down.
Go down.
But speaking of that too, I could use me a Melisandre calendar right about
this. Wow. Did she not blossom like a wall? Stop me, please. For real.
Shit.
Oh, I gotta get a job for that one.
Damn, I'm on it. Light a match and stomp on that motherfucker. Oh, shit.
So,
damn right I'm going down. Was that a question?
Down, sideways, back, up the back. Oh, shit.
Slap it, flip it,
rub it down.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hey, man.
Well, hello.
I mean,
not to excuse us for our wolfishness.
Just so you know, there are no women in the room right now. So.
Right. Excuse our wolfishness, but wow.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, and for you ladies, you know, yeah, Grey Worm got nice shoulders.
Well, there was an ass shot, right? Listen, I was watching that. I was thinking myself.
I don't know about no ass. They don't think you got nice shoulders. Leave it alone.
Listen, here I'll say. It was a very balanced shot. You got some frontal, and you got some back from both. And I say, okay.
Oh, God.
That was pretty equal.
Wait, he's emasculated or he's castrated?
He's emasculated.
Okay. What is the difference?
Castrated means he's got no penis.
Right, but what's the...
Emasculation's got no balls.
Ah, gotcha.
But he can still get erect, right?
What the hell should I know?
And may you never have to find out.
Ask Theon.
Okay, Google. Castrated men get erect?
You looking this shit up right now?
Yep.
Castrated men can't get erect. Can emasculated men get erect?
Oh, wait.
Because castrated, you lose the Frank
and
beans.
Can't emasculated?
Well, castrated is you lose the Frank and beans. And emasculated.
You get to beat them with the Franks? How do you get the beans with the Franks?
Emasculated, you just lose the beans, but you get
what
the
else
Franks.
Is on this list we can talk about?
So Game of Thrones.
I'm feeling sullied right about now. Come on.
Man, you've been sullied. What are you talking about? You married.
Oh, wait. Oh. I'd like to say, you know, my condolences to the Sand Snakes. Last night's episode, Sand Snakes caught a bad one. Obara got jigged up.
You know, it's funny. I've seen people on Twitter and Facebook extremely angry that the Sand Snakes, all the people from Dorne, basically got fucked up the ass. Mm-hmm. They all of them got fucked. I'm trying to figure out...
Well, they didn't show that part, but...
Well, what I mean is that even the characters who were of high moral quality died, or they got severely injured. Something was taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so that contingent, those people of that particular complexion, are no longer... Well, we don't know.
But well, for lack of a better term, but the Tyrells and the Martells are pretty much done.
Mm.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But,
right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But we definitely see...
Well, not the Wait.
The Martells is done.
Hightowers?
Because she killed... Remember, she killed Doran Martell.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And if she was going to take over the house, because she's a paramour, but she can take the name of Martell, she's been captured and threw it, you know, all of her daughters except for one. They didn't introduce any of the others. It's supposed to be like 8 or 6 daughters, and they only introduced 3 of them. There's actually supposed to be more. But they only gave us 3, so we only got to figure there's only 3.
Because there's only so much story to tell.
2 of them in the grave. One of them is just too young to do shit.
Right.
So jig niggas in an ankle. So
yeah, but
that shit is done.
I have a lot of friends who are angry.
I'm sorry, Mark.
The fact that Doran was basically taken off the board because they were the only other brown people in the story of any worth.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, I can see the argument, but I feel like at the same time, everybody's getting cut down. Everybody's getting cut down.
This is the medieval version of Oz.
Yeah. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
No.
Don't even start liking people, because the moment you start...
At least in Oz, there's still enough niggas in prison to have a character with, right?
Yeah.
When you get rid of... all right, if you have 10 knights, one of them is Asian, and as you, the writer, you're going to write in that Asian dude gets killed in the third battle. You know what I mean? You don't feel it.
You
don't feel it.
You just lost all of China.
Right.
That's your audience.
Right.
Basically. Hey, we're getting up to the end of this here. So.
Oh, shit. Yes, we got a lot more to go.
Real quick, we got to talk some unfortunate news.
Oh, yes.
George Romero.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And Martin Landau.
Mm-hmm.
Both giants in the...
film industry. TV... Television and film.
Yes.
Television and film.
You know, it's like, look, they were old heads, and so
mm-hmm.
they had great lives, great careers, leaving behind great legacies.
Yeah.
But it is still sad to see them go.
It is.
No doubt.
Martin Landau, for anybody who wants to remember, I know some heads here remember 1999, correct?
Space 1999, which was the shit!
Yeah, the opening credits was alone.
Yeah.
Alone.
Mm.
Mission
Space
Impossible.
Space 1999.
Look it up, son.
Please.
Look it up, son. Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. He was,
he was
one
of the
big fixture in the Mission Impossible TV show.
And Ed Wood.
Yeah.
1990s film with
right.
Johnny Depp. He played
Bela Lugosi.
There you go. Martin Landau was a beast.
He was.
In terms of character actors.
Mm-hmm.
Character actors.
I have to add this in about George Romero, because I posted this on my Facebook. George Romero's Night of the Living Dead was one of the first horror films that I saw that an African-American actor played the lead role.
Yep.
And was destined to be the hero. I'd never seen Dawn of the Dead before Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give Romero a lot of credit, because... when asked about why Dwayne Jones was picked, he said because he was the best actor in the group.
Thank you.
And that means a lot to me as an African-American male, because it's not, oh, I needed a black character.
Right.
Or, you know, oh, you know, we were looking around, we were trying to make a statement. And he always said that. He said, I was never trying to make a statement. But out of all the people in my crew, he was the best actor we had.
Thank you.
And that's why he landed the role. So kudos to George for doing that, because that movie was done at a time, you know, not many of us were even considered for horror films.
Nah. Much less any goddamn thing else. So fellas, we are nearly to an hour here. Here's my proposition right now.
Okay.
If you have nothing else to do.
I got one more thing to say, and that'll be it.
Well, here's the thing. I was actually going to suggest we just do another fucking show.
Well.
Oh, okay.
So if everybody's good with that,
just keep on going.
Yeah.
If that's good with that, we'll close this hour out.
Okay.
Well, and then we will start
a new
one.
Oh my God!
There's more rum
and
to
therefore
a duology
ending this show. Stand by, everybody, for episode 30 in 3, 2, 1.